This is a Rally Week in Review for April 20th, 2009. I'm James Turner, contributing editor for O'Reilly Media, and on this episode of Week in Review, we'll talk to Andy Hertzfeldt of Google about his new Google Labs project that gives you a timeline view of the news. We'll also have the answer to last week's pod quiz and this week's pod quiz, which can win you any book in the O'Reilly catalog. All that on O'Reilly Week in Review. Andy Hertzfeldt is an engineer for Google, and in a previous life was involved in the creation of the original Macintosh. He's also the author of Revolution in the Valley, which documents the creation of the Macintosh, and is published by O'Reilly. Since this week, Google released one of his projects, a timeline view of news, into the Google Labs area, we thought we'd give him a call and see exactly what this feature did.
Google Labs is Google's way of getting experimental project to our users to get early feedback. So it's really an expedited path for engineers who are passionate about something to launching it without having to have, you know, sort of all the I's dotted and T's crossed. It's called Google News Timeline, and it's a way of organizing information by time. The initial impetus was to try to build something like Google Maps. When I first saw Google Maps, I was just so impressed by the naturalness and grace of the user interface. And I thought, boy, it would be interesting to try to build something like Google Maps for the dimension of time instead of space that aggregates together all information related in time. So each piece of information can lend context to each other. So that was the initial idea. It went through a lot of evolution, but I think what ended up getting launched yesterday is somewhat true to that initial impetus.
We'll have more of this interview with Andy later in the podcast. Last week's podcast quiz, we asked you a question related to the Microsoft MapPoint software and an erroneous route it was supplying back in 2005. We asked what country served as the starting and ending point for a route that MapPoint gave a 1,600-mile route for, including a ferry trip, when you could in fact have done it with a direct trip of 476 miles. The answer was Norway. If you're interested, Google for GPS Map Norway Ferry, and you'll find it fairly quickly. The blog in question is called The Language Log. The actual route started in Norway, at a city I'm not going to try to pronounce. The next step was to take a ferry to England. Then, after England, go to France, Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, and finally back to Norway. No one actually answered the question last week, which I found a little surprising. So no one won a book from O'Reilly. We'll have a new question later in the podcast, so maybe someone can be luckier this week. Continuing our interview with Andy Hertzfeldt, Andy also talked a bit about what the sources of data that are used for the timeline are and how it's decided what should appear on each day.
Well, it's got a whole variety of sources. So I would say, yeah, the main information it gets are from the two corpuses that Google News is based on, both recent news and archival news. But then it also gets information from Google Reader for blogs on the timeline, gets information from Google Books for magazines and newspapers on the timeline, and then it gets some information from external sources as well, like there's a startup company called MetaWeb that has a product called Freebase, and it gets lots of media information like movies and music, video games, etc., from there using their open API. It really varies according to corpuses. Some of them are already ranked for me, like the Google News stories. It has some sophisticated ranking algorithms to determine what the most relevant results are. It's a little bit different than web search because the timeline is structured by time. So as you go down the page, time increases, but it picks which, it shows a maximum of 10 results from each corpus, and it picks the 10 most relevant results and then sorts them by time. But for other corpuses, I don't have as good ranking. Sometimes it just displays them in time order. And, you know, the idea is if there's too many that fit in an interval, you just click on it and you drill down and you see it in finer scale.
Andy also talked about the people who he thought the timeline would be especially helpful for.
Well, I think students and researchers. I think it's a great way to get an overview of what happened when. So I can imagine it being great for certain types of history classes or really just the curious about, you know, if you're curious about what the world was like at around the time you were born, I think it's great. So, you know, I build it for the general user, but I think it'll be particularly useful to researchers if you're researching a particular topic. In fact, reporters, I think, should find it to be an excellent tool.
You can check out Andy's project by going to newstimeline.googlelabs.com. Out of curiosity, I put in the date I was born, August 2nd, 1962, and discovered that 3 days later, Nelson Mandela had been arrested in South Africa. This week's podcast quiz question is a bit of a treasure hunt based on a piece of breaking news this week and the interview you've just heard. If you go to Andy's newest project and type in the name of a well-known computer manufacturer which has arranged to be acquired this week by a well-known database manufacturer, what is the first news article that you will find? If you know the answer, send us the date and title of the article to podquiz, P-O-D, Q-U-I-Z, at O'Reilly.com. The person with the first correct answer will win their choice of any book in the O'Reilly catalog, or, if you live outside the United States, a PDF. Good luck! Well, that's the end of another O'Reilly Week in Review. Tune in next week for more interviews and analysis from O'Reilly speakers, authors, and editors. The theme music for O'Reilly Week in Review was composed and performed by Father Rock. For O'Reilly Media, I'm James Turner.